February 25th, 2020. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm Chip Hessenflug.
We're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. Chip, it's Tuesday, and I'm feeling, you know, like a little fat. It's Fat Tuesday.
Well, you're a little fat, but you know what? the feather costume fits you well. Are you ready to do some dancing?
Always. Yeah? Always ready to do some dancing.
It's like Carnival here in Illinois.
It's Mardi Gras.
Yeah, it's a little cold for for our costumes. Quite skimpy they are. Thank goodness for feathers.
That's right. Mardi Gras, the celebration is on.
Have a punschki?
Oh, nice.
Okay.
There's so many traditions. We're ready.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Have some pancakes.
There's always time for pancakes.
It's a pancake day too. Steve, they've got so many names for this day.
So ready. I'm ready to get into spring. I think spring is right around the corner at this point.
It is right around the corner. And of course, later on this week, we're of course going to wear our Lycra Spider-Man costumes. We're going to be all ready for C2E2.
C2E2 coming up this weekend. The Chicago Comic Entertainment Expo at McCormick Place coming up this weekend. That's exciting.
Well, it is, but you know, these carnival costumes with the feathers, they cover up so much.
Yeah,
but you know, the skin tight other, you know, they show I feel like that one Spider-Man in the Spider-Verse movie.
Okay,
you know, the one that maybe was a little overweight. Yeah, that's me.
Okay.
You can't hide in those costumes, Steve.
Happy Mardi Gras, everyone.
Down. Get my film at 11.
Brings us to our film at 11, our movie of the week. You know, I don't get to watch a lot of movies in February.
Well, it's musical season.
It is musical season.
It's musical season. There's lots going on, Steve.
I am a little focused, but I did get a chance to watch, because my wife started watching it this week, the show called Hunters.
Hooah!
This is an Amazon original. It's on Amazon Prime, and it is a really good 10-episode series where a group of Nazi hunters in New York City in 1977 are finding these high-ranking Nazi officials and taking them down and inflicting justice upon them in the most Tarantino-esque ways.
So this is streaming on Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
There's 10 episodes to this.
Uh-huh.
And
it dropped on Friday.
And it's a grown-up type of show, isn't it?
And my wife is done watching it.
She's watched all of them.
She's watched all 10. I've watched about 5 of them at this point because she got me hooked in to this story.
And I am very interested in this, mm-hmm. because the premise of this is that there are former Nazis from the 1940s,
mm-hmm.
living in the United States. And now they have discovered one.
And they might be in very influential positions in the United States. The first scene, I don't want to ruin too much of this, but the first scene exposes one of these Nazis, and he is not willing to be exposed, so he eliminates a whole group of people so that his secret can stay secret.
And of course, as I said when you announced this, stars Al Pacino.
Yes, this is Al Pacino not doing that character. Not that character. He is a very Jewish old statesman who is in charge of this group who are finding the Nazis. And boy, is he Al Pacino in this in such a wonderful way. But my wife did not know that old Jewish man was Al Pacino until about episode 3 or 4, when she paused the Amazon Prime and the X-ray came up and she's, oh, look, it's Al Pacino.
Well, I'm interested in seeing this.
This is really good. I really recommend this. Again, this is a very adult sort of presentation. There's a lot of gore, a lot of really deep talk about how we as Americans view what the Nazis did, mm-hmm. and some justice that comes very swiftly.
And we've read discussed books on Project Paperclip,
mm-hmm.
and also been aware of like the space program that we had, mm-hmm. after World War II. And a little bit about how that all came about, and any number of compromises that were made.
No spoilers, but yes, Project Paperclip is discussed in depth in this story, along with Wernher von Braun is a character in this. I won't spoil it, but boy, when that episode came up, I was really interested because they take a very interesting twist on the Wernher von Braun story. Oh, boy. I recommend this one. It's Hunters. Find it on Amazon Prime. My wife said Carol Kane is doing fantastic acting in this, along with Judd Hirsch. How many old Jewish men and women can you get into the story? The answer, Judd Hirsch. You got a chance to see another thing on Amazon Prime. This one is a documentary called Free the Mind.
Free the Mind, Steve. Mm-hmm. All right, so we have actually discussed a number of books and programs that have a relation to this. So remember, we were talking a little bit about behavior economics, Richard Thaler's book, mm-hmm. and Dan Ariely. We've discussed a few of his books and maybe some of his programs that he's had. This is about a professor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. His name is Richard Davidson, and this is about his work. So he works in the Department of Psychology and is also a psychiatrist.
Okay.
So he works with individuals and also studies individuals. And this is about his work. Some of the best work that's being done in economics right now could be in the psychology field. Mm. And that's where you're studying the individual.
Okay.
And how the brain does what it does. This is actually a gentleman who is studying a couple of groups here. Groups that have experienced trauma.
Okay.
So we're going to follow a group of young people. And these are kids who are probably 6 or 7 years old. And we're going to also follow a group of men who have come back from the military, have post-traumatic stress disorder, and certainly are having challenges to do with that. Part of the spirit of how this was put together was some discussions through the Dalai Lama, the Tibetan research on how they deal with
how the
reality
mind works. Yeah,
that's right. And this is all about how the mind works. So if you're not familiar with this, any type of trauma that you have in life, it could be from a very young at age, even before you remember, you're a baby, to, you know, an adult type of trauma, impacts how you view the world. Mm-hmm. And so trying to work through that, and so you can have you can imagine a negative thing that happened to you and how it kind of works with you today. This is about how to maybe reframe that, and using some Tibetan research on this, it could be on how to use kindness and the sort of the study of happiness, mm-hmm. to help work with you, to help work through that challenge you end up having. And so we start, our young person that we're dealing with has a challenge of he can't go into an elevator. Mm-hmm. And we learned that that's because of when he was a baby, he had a traumatic experience. And he was a foster child. He had a couple. They were going to go ahead and adopt him. They had raised this baby. But during that time between they said we'd like to adopt this young man and this young boy, and to the time they had it, he went away. He had to sit with another family.
Wow.
And so they would have to come see him, almost like, you know, an outsider would come see him. And when they were getting ready to go, one of the most touching stories was the parents were saying that when we were getting ready to go, this little boy would go get his coat and he would get ready to go with them. And it couldn't happen. Mm-hmm. So whatever that trauma was early in life ends up manifesting itself. And they're working through a number of strategies to try to help this boy cope with, you know, life as it is. And this is all happening up at the University of Wisconsin. So it's so close to us, by mm-hmm. the way, 90 miles away. The group of people with post-traumatic stress disorder, they've just come back from the war. It could be anything from having a difficult time sleeping to adjusting to regular life. In fact, there's this one scene with this man and his wife and their two children, the young children, and they're in a diner. And they're just kind of talking, and all of a sudden he has to get up. he has to step out of the diner and he's got to recompose himself. Mm-hmm. And it could be because it's too busy, too loud, but could be a sound.
Something made his mind think he was uncomfortable and he had to refocus and recenter a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so one of the studies they were doing with these young men were they would come in and they would work on meditation, mindfulness, being aware of where they are, kind of recentering themselves. And what they were finding is about half of the people they were working with had a dramatic improvement in their life from using some of these skills to kind of readjust themselves.
Convince your own brain that you're fine and everything's fine and all of the scary things that happened in the past are just ghosts, just phantoms.
And, well, you can just understand. You're asking sometimes soldiers who are on missions to experience things that the human mind just not is it's not developed to experience. Mm-hmm. You've been told these are wrong. You've been told not to experience these, but there you are. You're in a war situation, and you're seeing things you probably are just, you know, most people would not enjoy seeing.
Right, and you can't unsee. And that's where your mind gets in the way.
And if you think about you and your children, mm-hmm. what are we trying to do? We certainly want them to experience life. We want it to grow and have fulfilling parts of their lives. And, you know, there are setbacks throughout life.
Mm-hmm.
What we're trying to do is prevent them from having too deep of a traumatic situation.
Right.
And nobody would wish a traumatic situation on any person that we're with either, because obviously that has negative consequences too. And in fact, you cannot help but leave this movie with even a greater appreciation on how well you want to treat those around you, in particular the ones that you care about most. So this is a wonderful study. I think I would like to meet Richard Davidson, and I would like to learn more about his work. And in our notes, we actually have a link to his University of Wisconsin website, mm-hmm. and you can learn a little bit about
his
papers and stuff. Yeah,
see if we can have a conversation, because this is obviously what we talk about a lot on this show is how our minds work. I am a teacher, but I am really deeply a sociologist. I am really looking at the connections between people and how my little tiny little lesson to this kid today can make the world a different place. The way the mind works is something that I've thought about more than just about any other topic in my life.
Well, and it is. It's how we experience and how we react to situations. And once again, we all want to have fulfilling lives and fulfill the joys of that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, part of that is experiencing life, and, you know, life can punch you around pretty good.
Yeah. So that's for sure. That I find this intriguing and interesting. Free the Mind. It's on Amazon Prime. I think we should keep talking about this.
All right.
I think that's what we need to do. Opening this week, there's some movies that we might be talking about. The first one is called The Jesus Rolls.
Steven, I'm really surprised you didn't have a White Russian waiting for us.
I really would have. Maybe I should go get one right now.
We should probably go look at it for a carpet or something.
Yes. This is a spin-off to The Big Lebowski.
Not a follow-up.
This is not related to The Big Lebowski, other than this one character, the Jesus. The
dude.
John Turturro character.
Dude.
Yes, not the dude. The Jesus. This the is Jesus. Written, directed, and starring John Turturro. I look forward to this one. The trailer looks fantastic.
He licks a bowling ball.
Yeah. No,
of course he does.
Of course he does. I think everybody loves The Big Lebowski.
Well, it's like it's the movie full of 1,000 characters, uh-huh. and all you want to do is quote them.
And now we just have this movie about the one character, the Jesus in this one.
He's getting out of prison, Steve.
He's getting out of prison and has a life after The Big Lebowski. I look forward to this. I hope it's as good as I expect it. The Coen brothers are not involved in this at all. They didn't put up any of the money. They did not write the story. They did not direct this. So I still go into this with a hint that maybe this won't be as great as I expect, but I expect great things from this movie.
We got John Turturro there.
There you go. You can't go wrong with John Turturro, can you? There is a movie coming out this week called Burden. This is the story of a reverend in South Carolina who is fighting against ideas and the Ku Klux Klan opening a museum in his town.
Yeah, it sounds like this takes place in Lawrence, South Carolina. If I'm not mistaken, 1996 is where it's set.
Okay.
And this looks fascinating. I'm hoping this is a good film. What concerns me is that it was set to release in 2018.
It was released at Sundance in 2018, was purchased there, and then sat on the shelf for 2 years.
Yeah, what an interesting choice. It's Black History Month, and racism is certainly one of the topics that gets discussed. And, you know, being in South Carolina, the first state that did secede from the Union when we started the Civil War, this certainly is something that is
intriguing.
Topical enough. And I'm hoping they address this. I hope this is a good movie. This looks, from the trailer, it looks like it could be.
Could be. But also could maybe not be as great because it's set and it's being released in February. There's a lot of question marks on Burton.
Give me something that's going to scare me, Steve.
All right. The new version of The Invisible Man is hitting our screens this week. This is the classic 1930s story of a scientist who turns himself invisible and then, in the original story at least, went mentally ill, went insane as a result of this treatment.
Now, this treatment looks like it's a little bit different. One, it was originally set up to be part of what?
The reboot of the Universal Monster movies. It was called The Dark Universe, and The Mummy came out in 2017. You might remember that movie.
And it starred, of course,
Tom Cruise running for his life, as one does. As that's what Tom Cruise movies are, right? It's just Tom Cruise running.
He likes running.
That's what it was.
And, you know, and Brad Pitt eats something. So and what, Tom Hanks pees. So every actor has their trope.
The Universal Monster movie reboot, it didn't really come to anything, but this is a remnant of that. I look forward to this. This is a horror movie director who is taking this on, and this looks like a scary, scary story.
Sure, and the premise is that the girlfriend of the Invisible Man, well, she knows he's still around.
But everybody else thinks he's dead.
Yeah, so basically he is truly haunting her.
Uh-huh.
They're thinking that she's turning crazy.
Uh-huh.
This looks kind of maybe inspired by Alan Moore's take on The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Interesting.
Because in that, the Invisible Man was kind of a sex fiend and kind of going around doing really, really bad things, and they had to kind of rope him in to have him part of the superheroes.
Wow!
So this looks like an invisible person basically tormenting another person.
Oof. I still look forward to it. I love the original Universal Monster movies. I will watch those all the time. And the original Claude Rains, excellent work.
Steve, can we go to the Death of Neverland?
Yes. Isn't it time for another Peter Pan movie? The next version of Peter Pan is called Wendy.
It's the Wendy, Steve.
It's the Wendy story. The story of Peter Pan from Wendy's point of view. This looks good.
This does. My favorite rendition of a Peter Pan film was 2003's. And if you really want to watch a great Peter Pan film, that I would recommend this one. This one looks really good. I think we had another Peter Pan film maybe 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's in public domain.
It's one of
those. We're going to get one that's every other year. This one does look pretty good, but I do suggest the 2003.
Either Peter Pan or King Arthur. You can do each of those every year because there's always a new version of these. This looks interesting.
Steve, give me an independent or a series of independents.
Time to get into our independent films. It is February. You always see some great independent films coming out. Maybe some of these are on that list. The first one is called Saint Francis. This is the story of a young lady and finding her place in the world, finding a six-year-old who she's charged with protecting, and it seems just like a story about people. It's storytelling.
It is.
Yeah, a story of people.
And let's just say, maybe on the level, is it Linkletter, Richard Linkletter? Kind of like a boy, maybe from a few years ago.
Yeah, I don't don't think this is quite as interesting as that, but it's on that level of here's a story about people. Maybe you can learn something. There's one called Just One More Kiss.
It's a romantic film. Independent, Steve.
This is very independent. That is for sure. This is a love story where
Steve, it starts off with a death.
Yeah. A man dies, and his wife is very torn up by the loss of her love. And then
he comes back as a ghost.
Yeah.
And they have a relationship.
And then Whoopi Goldberg. No, that's Ghost.
That's Ghost. I don't know if this looks terrible.
It's independent.
I don't know. All right, let's go with it.
All right. There's a movie called Straight Up. This is a silly little comedy about a man who thinks that he might not be as gay as he thought he was because he's limited his possibilities by cutting the whole planet in half and saying, I only like these kind of people. Maybe I should branch out.
Maybe this is an exploration. This is a young person's mm-hmm. film. And maybe this is an exploration that, you know, how you define yourself early in life mm-hmm. may not be who you ultimately become. Or maybe it's an exploration of finding the soulmate, the person you want to spend time with, may not be the romantic person that you find attractive. This does look like an interesting young person's, I wouldn't say young person, maybe 20-something yeah. person's exploration of those ideas.
A journey of life. This one looks good, though. I like this one better than the last two. There is a very silly satire starring Steve Coogan this week called Greed.
I love Steve Coogan.
I know you do.
He's one of my favorites.
He's very silly, and he does these very over-the-top things. This movie is no exception. The super rich is explored here. The idea of having all the money in the world and what you can do with it.
And there's nobody who plays a clueless guy better than me, but Steve Coogan tries.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
This one looks funny. I hope that it's as good as the trailer.
It's a new Harry Potter film out, Steve.
Oh, boy. There is a weird movie featuring Harry Potter this week. This is Daniel Radcliffe. He's done some very interesting, weird, askew films since Harry Potter, and this one is definitely in that category. It is called Guns Akimbo.
The premise is it's a video game.
Uh-huh.
And
Live action.
And, uh-huh. I don't know, you wake up because they've knocked you out, uh-huh. and they've given you your tools, uh-huh. and you're now part of this video game.
And it is a fight for your life from there.
So Daniel Radcliffe's character gets knocked out. He wakes up. He's got guns bolted to his hands.
Uh-huh.
And now he is in the video game, uh-huh. and everybody's trying to kill him, Steve.
And
he's got to save his girlfriend.
And he's got an American accent. He does a pretty good American accent in this. I'm excited for that part of Daniel Radcliffe's acting.
We could compare this to Scott Pilgrim, maybe.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Yeah, it's very similar in its tone to Scott Pilgrim.
Except for maybe a little more violent. Scott Pilgrim's a little more whiny.
Okay. Okay, I'll give you that one. There is a movie called Tread. This is a true story about a man who basically built a tank and decided that he needed to seek revenge on his small town.
This is a true story. I remember this news report.
Uh-huh.
And this is about one of your neighbors basically building the equivalent of a tank, and all of his friends said, we never knew who was this angry.
Right.
And he has this manifesto. Mm-hmm. He takes this big tank-like thing and just destroys the town, running through buildings, running through houses.
Cars.
Oh, it's crazy.
Yes. That is probably the right word. But angry. This is an angry man who has somewhere in his mind he believes that this is the right thing to do, that he has been wronged, and this is him getting vengeance.
Sure, sure.
Woo! Ooh, there's that one. Then there is the documentary film about homelessness in America. This is called Lost in America.
This looks incredibly touching.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about the number of young people who are homeless in the United States and why they've become homeless.
All so the situations.
It could be any number mm-hmm. of things. They could have a piece in it. They also could be kicked out of their home. There's one kid that was a gay kid who mm-hmm. was, dad said, don't come back home.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole group of, you know, it could be substance abuse. It could be any number of things.
A lot of abuse.
What do you do with a whole group of people who are homeless, who have, you know, the young people's skills? You can imagine how challenging that mm-hmm. could be, and get them reacclimated into society.
Yeah.
This seems to be that study, or at least a call to action on this.
Right.
And this looks really good and like I said, really sad.
And really deep and heartfelt. There's so many stories that can be told here. And the stars that were involved with this, who
Tiffany
used
Haddish,
to be homeless. Uh-huh.
She was homeless. Mm-hmm. Jewel, she was homeless at one time.
Yeah.
Jewel tells a story that she was washing her hair in a sink in a restroom. In a restaurant or something. And how the people around her looked at horrified. Mm-hmm. Now, to be fair to that family looking at her horrified, they're horrified, not necessarily at her, they're horrified because of her, imagine walking in on somebody who's choosing to do that. What would lead you to do that?
Yeah, there's a lot of heart to that documentary.
Sure.
Book it. Brings us to our book. At our book of the week, you have read a Spider-Man novel.
A novel, Steve.
A novel. This one is called Spider-Man: The Darkest Hours. It was written by Jim Butcher, and it was published in 2006.
Now, Jim Butcher, if we don't know who that is, he's a fantasy writer, and I bet he's written 100 books.
His most famous work is The Dresden Files. That's the thing that I identify that I recognize from him.
And they also used the Codex Alera and also Cinder Spires. He was asked by Marvel, or hired by Marvel, to write a Spider-Man story. I've had some heavy stuff with work and all sorts of stuff going on this week, so I wanted to read something that was a lot lighter. This came across, and I was like, let's get through this one.
Nice.
And so Spider-Man is who he is. So we have, this is probably the original thread of Spider-Man, started maybe in 65 or so, where he started out as a high school student, then became a college student, and now he has graduated from college, and he is a young teacher.
Okay.
So he's a substitute teacher or a part-time teacher in science. He is married to Mary Jane, the love of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Face a tiger, you hit jackpot. We also have the Black Cat in this. The Black Cat was introduced maybe in the 80s as Spider-Man's girlfriend.
Interesting.
And they're no longer dating, but they know each other and they run into each other. And the Black Cat at one time was a bad guy and now is kind of for hire, not a kind of a good guy.
Neutral, maybe
a little neutral, but but pointing towards the good guy. Our bad guys in this are going to be the Rhino, who we're going to have a number of encounters with. And the Rhino is this great big Hulk-like guy with he had a rhinoceros costume. He was introduced very early in Spider-Man's past, and he's very strong and is not considered very bright.
Okay.
And the costume won't come off. And in fact, he has a joke about that later on when Spider-Man and the rhinoceros are having a conversation. And he goes, I was a dumb guy and the costume couldn't come off at one time. But anyway, we are going to our real bad guys in this are something called a group called the Ancients.
Okay.
And these are, I think, were introduced in a comic at some point. I don't know for sure. But the Ancients, the premise of this was Spider-Man is part of a deeper mythology than just being bitten by a radioactive spider and gaining the powers of the spider. This is the idea that many, many, many moons ago, there are these primal things.
Okay.
And Spider-Man is the latest to tap into this primal mythology, and that they are part of that primal group. Now, the way they used to explain it is for Wolverine, history has always had stories about Wolfman and stuff like that. Is Wolverine, this character, Logan, is he really just...
Weapon X.
Is he really just part of that mythology that these people kind of existed and he's the latest version of that? Or, you can think of any other of the superheroes part of that. So there actually is, they're kind of trying to expand the mythology of Spider-Man quite a bit. And so you can think of Annecy, We read Annecy Boys mm-hmm. from Neil Gaiman,
right?
And that's the African legends on the spider character who was kind of the jokey kind of character who run into your life and create all sorts of havoc. The deal with Spider-Man and his fighting styles, when he fights somebody like the Rhino, Rhino is just going to run into stuff. If he ever hits Spider-Man, it could be it.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is Spider-Man's going to bounce off the walls. He's going to make jokes at the expense of this guy. He's going to make him very angry. And so ultimately the rhinoceros is going to, or the Rhino is going to make a... yeah, some kind of gaffe, and Spider-Man is going to defeat him. And that's exactly what he does early in the book. These ancients he's running into, oh, they're much more relentless. If they run into you, if they touch you, they can just follow you. So eventually you have to, you tire, you go to sleep or something like that. They'll just come and get you.
Hmm.
So anyway, the whole story is about the Spider-Man not being able to defeat these guys because of his brute strength. He's going to have to use his intellect to do that. In this book, we have some scenes with Peter Parker as the teacher and interacting with students. We have certainly a number of conversations with Peter Parker and Mary Jane. Mary Jane's got her new acting gig. It's going to be in
New Jersey.
She's going to have to pass her driver's test to be able to drive there. And she goes, you know about New Yorkers and driving. And Mary Jane's going through panic attacks. She goes, I couldn't believe this. She goes, I can get up and be a model. I can be an actor. But, you know, when I'm trying to pass this, you know, I'm just falling apart.
Huh.
So, and that was kind of interesting type of conversation. There's lots of banter, certainly very loving and caring for each other. And then eventually there's some real conversations between the Rhino and Peter Parker. I'm sorry, Spider-Man, I should say. Because eventually they find out the ancients are going after, once they defeat Spider-Man, they're going to go after rhinoceros. And they're going to have to deal with him, too. Doctor Strange shows up a little ways and speaks in all sorts of riddles and stuff like that. But, of course, you know, somehow Peter Parker is given the wisdom he needs to defeat these guys. And it is a really nice story. It's I think one of the critiques I read, it says, it's not great literature, but this is certainly a fun book.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, if you like Star Wars books, because you like Star Wars books, if you like superheroes like Spider-Man, I think you'll enjoy this novel. This would be a great to take maybe on a book on tape or something like that when you go on a road trip and you got the family listening to it.
Okay, so this is a novel instead of a graphic novel. This is not pictures.
This is
just straight literature.
This is a reading. This is a reading book. This is a reading book, Steve.
You from the South? Yes, this is a reading book. I'll read it in my sitting chair.
There's no pictures here.
Yes,
there's a cover,
but it works, right? This works as a storytelling medium,
and I think that's what Marvel was attempting to do at that time. They were quite experimental in the early 2000s. Things were just starting to ratchet up. They were actually hitting another type of renaissance character, and this is before the MCU. The movies were coming out, and what we got was this idea that, well, these are characters, people like the characters, but maybe they don't like to read a comic. If you remember, Road to Perdition came out. Tom Hanks starred in that. It was filmed
right here in Dundee, yeah.
Absolutely. And people were going and they were trying to get the novel,
mm-hmm.
but it was based on a graphic novel. And people were actually quite upset. They're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that. But the story worked out real well.
Yeah.
Well, this is taking comics and they're making more of a novel and then seeing if you can kind of serialize it.
Interesting.
It was very interesting. And I would say just worthy of your time. Awesome. It's light is exactly what I needed this week.
All right. Spider-Man The Darkest Hours by Jim Butcher.
Appetite
brings us to our app of the week. You know, I
Steve likes cars.
I don't like cars. I really don't
like cars.
Steve
doesn't like cars.
I really don't like cars, but I buy cars about every 3 years. And so I've bought several cars in my lifetime, and I did it again this week. But this week, I bought a car online.
And you used the app of the week, Steve.
That's right. Our app of the week this week is Carvana. And this is, wow, a different way to buy a car.
Now, I've seen a lot of the ads. And I've also run down the highway of many cities, and I've seen these vending machines.
That's right. That is what they are most famous for, is they have car vending machines where they will deliver your car to this stack of cars. You punch in your little code at the bottom, and down comes your car, and you drive away. This is very futuristic. I bought this car from California without ever seeing it, without ever going to California. Carvana delivered it to me here on my driveway.
And the idea is you go to the app and you search your vehicle mm-hmm. that you would like to have, the features you would like to have on that. And if you find it, all you have to do is basically press yes.
Press yes and it'll show up at your house. They have all the convenience features built into this so that you can pay them, you can get financing through their bank and not worry about any of the transaction.
Sure.
Now, everybody that's talked to me this week has said, well, didn't you test drive the car before you bought it? I said, no, I'm in the middle of my test drive. I have a 7-day test drive. They brought the car to me. That's the first time I saw it, was when they dropped it off, and I've been driving it for 7 days. If I hated it, they would come and pick it up and no questions asked.
So this is a non-negotiation website too. The price is the price you take.
That is the other question that I got a lot.
Okay. And so this reminds me a lot of CarMax, mm-hmm. but maybe a more modern version of CarMax.
This might be the next generation of what CarMax was able to do, being that non-negotiated car dealership where you go and you can see thousands of cars on their lot. You can test drive as many of them as you want, and the price on the sticker is the price. There is no negotiation.
And because of that, many times, to me, what it looks like is they're only going to buy premium mm-hmm. cars.
They're only going to offer those cars that do well for their brand.
Sure.
So I felt very confident in buying this car because I'm pretty sure that they're not going to sell me a crummy car.
Sure.
They're going to take those crummy cars and sell them somewhere else under some other brand. The Carvana brand needs to be specific to reliable transaction of this automobile.
Well, not everybody looks for that 1985 Yugo,
right?
But you got it, and that was playing.
As everybody who knows me knows, I got a 2018 Honda Clarity. Yes, it's 2020, and I found Clarity. I haven't told that joke all week.
So what we'll end up doing is we'll review the automobile mm-hmm. next week.
Yeah.
Because obviously it's a very interesting automobile mm-hmm. that the Honda's put out. But let's dive a little bit more into this app, because really they took the car buying experience and they made it a science. They basically said, okay. And I want to back up just briefly to say, when I graduated from college, I ended up working for a bank.
Mm-hmm.
And the bank I worked for was Circuit City's bank.
Okay.
And Circuit City had determined that every place that would have a Circuit City would have one by whatever that year was. And so they had just started CarMax.
Mm-hmm.
And our parking lot of our building, our office building, was full of Ford Tauruses. Because they were building the lot across. And they in Richmond, Virginia, and what they were doing is they were test marking CarMax, and that was game changing in the sense that people hate buying cars.
The experience can be so stressful.
Sure.
The experience of negotiating with a stranger mm-hmm. and not knowing whether they're lying to you or not, if you're getting a good deal or not, that negotiation is so stressful. This takes away a lot of that.
And so Circuit City doesn't exist anymore. They've been out of business for mm-hmm. many, many years. Their name was bought and used by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But CarMax still survives. And so you could easily see, move from CarMax to Carvana
mm-hmm.
And we as we were kind of warming up, you could see where why actually buy a car if you could just lease it for the week.
And
that's where enterprises and those places kind of come in.
I think that we're going to see a lot more subscription model car buying.
Sure.
Car leasing. If I paid your company, say, $800 a month, and I could have my choice of any car on the lot, drive it away for a month, you cover insurance and license,
unlimited mileage, whatever.
Maybe even gasoline.
Sure, and maybe those numbers are even lower.
Maybe. And then after a month, I can choose to keep that car for another month, or I can trade it in for another car on the lot. There's a lot of possibilities there.
During the summer, you need the family truckster.
Mm-hmm.
You know, during the winter, maybe you need that SUV.
Uh-huh.
But you know, the other time you want the little sports coupe. I mean, you could see how this could work.
It could work really well, and a place like CarMax, where they have all of those cars parked right there in the lot, seems like an opportunity right there that that somebody could come in, have a digital system where they pay and they
so should we call this too much scrolling motors,
too much driving?
There you go. No, not enough driving,
too much negotiating.
So Steve and I have just created a new business model.
So
and look for us
if you're interested in being an investor in our business model. Go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/too much scrolling.
That's right. Wayne Heinzinga is going to be right there.
Yes, this is I love the opportunity to buy this car. I was looking for this car for across the country, and I didn't find it locally.
And so for if our listeners, Steve, during Christmas, was getting ready to head out to New York City.
Uh-huh. It almost happened. It almost happened because I was searching online for this specific car, this color, this model. I found one in New York, in Queens. I almost got on an airplane and flew to New York to go to this car dealership, negotiate with the car dealership, buy the car, and drive it home. Mm-hmm. Carvana was the one that
they bring the car to you, Steve.
But they had the right car that I was looking for. It took me a long time. I've been talking about cars for a couple of months now. Everybody that I've talked to, you know how much I've said the word car to you the last 2 months. But
some of us use the word automobile, Steve.
Well, this automobile is the car that I was looking for. And the World Wide Web has changed the way car shopping works. I go into my local dealership. There is very little negotiation that happens at all at the local level anymore because I have all the information about all the cars across the country, and so do they. So they can't tell me that they're giving me the best deal when I can literally pull up on my phone and go, no, here's exactly the same car, same mileage, here's their price.
So President's Day weekend, you didn't buy a mattress. You bought a car.
If you need a mattress, we've got a link in our show notes for a mattress as well. But yes, now you can go to Carvana. I've got $500 off of a deal on a car. If you want to go to Carvana, give us an email and I'll send you the code so that I can get $100 and you can get $500 off of your car.
Yay.
This is the way to buy cars going forward. I don't know what the future looks like for cars. If the self-driving car comes to fruition the way we think it is, maybe we won't buy cars. But for now, Carvana, I think, is my favorite way to buy a car.
Scroll with it.
Brings us to our scroll with it. You know, it's spring. Spring is right around the corner, Chip. It's Mardi Gras.
Well, I'm on Facebook, and many of the city, if you have a local town, many of your local towns have, like, streams of like where you can go and you can somebody will say, well, give me the best tacos for your area or whatever it is. But many of the streams are like, I'm dropping cable and I need to get, you know, how does this work? How can I watch things?
So many people come up to me every day and say to me, I'm cutting cable, and I go, good. And then they say, how do I watch TV? What am I going to do? What should I get? And they ask me this every single day, Chip. So we have a site today that where you can go to find the answers. You go to suppose.tv and you can find that streaming service that's best for you.
And the way that site works is if you put in, and what everything's already listed there, like, oh, I want to watch ESPN because I like sports. Mm-hmm. It'll show you all the packages that have sports. It'll have the price of it. And you'll say, okay, this is the one I want. So whether it's Sling TV or DirecTV Now, or I'm sorry, AT&T Now, or a YouTube TV, or it's
Hulu. There's so many options out there, and people are bothered by all those options. There's too many options for some people.
Well, there really isn't. There's only, I don't know, five or six of them you can choose from.
Right.
The prices are similar enough, but what ultimately comes down to, maybe sports is not something you're interested in.
Really?
And that is, well, that's right. Well, that's where the savings really start, because... Yes. The only thing people watch right now that, you know, any network can rely on is sports.
That's the only live thing that anybody watches. Oscars and sports, that's it.
So if it's HGTV you get, I mean, you probably can get that as a really inexpensive app.
Correct.
And this is where you start choosing, like, oh, do I sign up for Netflix? Or do I sign up for one of the streaming services, HBO Now or something of that nature?
Right.
So by just putting in, like, oh, these are the type things I like to watch, you can find your streaming service that's less expensive for you.
And find that value. What's it worth to you? We talk about this all the time. The cost of something versus the value of something.
Now, also underneath and supposed TV that show you is like whether you need to get a Fire Stick or you can get an Apple TV or you want to use a Chromecast or one of the other
Roku.
Types. Yeah, Roku.
Get a Roku.
Okay.
There you go.
I have Apple TVs.
Get a Roku.
It doesn't really matter. The point is that you're going to want one that works with what you're using.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you're just learning a little bit different way of being able to watch those programs. So anyway, suppose.tv seems like a really let me make sure I'm clear on that. Suppose as an SUPPOSE .tv will do it for you. Now, there are also ways that you can watch movies for free.
There's so many different services out there. This is where people get confused and get a little bit worried about if they are getting what they need. You're currently using YouTube TV, right? For your...
I use YouTube TV, and I subscribe to it on a month-to-month basis.
Okay. And that's giving you all the channels that you would expect to get from cable at a reasonable price.
It's $50.
That's pretty reasonable.
And so what you end up getting from that is I can watch the college basketball games I want to watch, NBA. Mm-hmm. You can watch soccer. In fact, one of my favorite things to do is you wake up in the morning, Saturday and Sunday morning.
Watch bowling.
Well, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning, and you're going to watch the Bundesliga or the Premier League, because you know that's their midday in Europe. And so you're watching live games, and it's just you know a nice thing. And then when I'm at work and I'm trying to concentrate, you know, I'll throw golf up there because it's green and it's sunny and it's beautiful. And you can keep it real low, and you know they're going to whisper to you, "Well, Steve just got that in."
I just watch Pluto TV and watch MST3K all day. Is that okay?
No, Steve. Sometimes we have to concentrate.
While I'm teaching the kids, I've got MST3K on one of my monitors. Don't tell the kids because I'm concentrating really, really, really well.
Well, IMDb TV is owned by Amazon.
Yes.
In fact, IMDb.
Internet Movie Database, IMDb.
Which is a service owned by Amazon, also has a streaming service that's at no cost to you.
Yes.
And it's got a huge catalog of movies. And the only thing you're paying is to watch a few commercials through it.
So the value of your time to watch a couple of commercials in the middle of this huge catalog, this library of movies. IMDb is my source for movie information.
Do you use... Well, yeah, that's right. We use that...
We use that every
week
in
our notes.
In the show notes.
Sure.
It is a daily visit for me.
But if you wanted to watch a film... So let me use an example. You could go and you could rent the film from Amazon. You could buy the film. You could rent the film, or you can watch it for free.
With commercials.
With commercials. Now, every movie's not available, but my goodness.
It's a huge catalog.
Oh, it's a massive catalog.
Yeah, this is the way to go. This is wrapped into your Amazon Prime account. If you already have Amazon Prime, this is one of the Amazon channels that is already wrapped in. So
do you have to be a Prime member to use? this database?
You can go to IMDb TV as a separate standalone app.
Sure.
But if you already have Prime, you already have access to this in your Prime search. So if you search for a certain movie, you would see
From a
certain point of view. You would see all of those choices. So, watch it with commercials, rent it, or buy it. Or if it's a Prime movie, you already paid for it. You don't have to see the commercials.
And if you pick like a genre you like the 70s, you could watch a lot of sweaty people. Lots of sweaty people with suntans.
You know, I put together my top 10 movies of all time for me, and I was surprised to see how many of them are comedies. So going to that comedy genre and just choosing the next comedy on the list might be a great way to watch a lot of movies this way. IMDb TV is very good to me,
It's a very good to me.
Very good to me.
Which brings us baseball season, Steve.
Back to baseball.
Baseball's been very good to me.
It is time for baseball. Spring training is open.
That's a Saturday Night Live skit. Baseball's been very, very good to me.
Is it?
It is.
I thought it was a real thing. No. Didn't what's his name really say that?
Well, that was the skit. That was a Saturday Night Live skit.
I don't believe you. You don't know. You don't watch TV.
Steve, from the 1970s, we're quoting Saturday Night Live.
You don't watch TV, so I don't know how you know all the things that you know. You're fascinating, Chip. I am fascinated by you. Baseball season is here. Spring training is going, and the regular season opens on March 26th. So it's time to turn on WGN and watch the Cubs.
No, we can't, Steve.
Bad news, everyone. The Cubs have left WGN after a 70-year time where you could turn on the TV anytime in Chicago and watch the Cubs.
Yeah, and over the last few years, it's kind of spread across a few networks.
Right.
But what's happening is the Cubs have opened their own streaming network.
They have decided that they are leaving some money on the table, and they are going to have their own streaming network. This is called the Marquee Network, and they are...
What an awful name.
It is a terrible name. It is named after the sign outside of Wrigley Field, that big red marquee. That's the name that they chose, the Marquee Network.
Okay.
It's a terrible name. But what they are trying to do is get
it sounds,
on...
It sounds like an adult theme.
It does. Or the splitters from the Federation in Star Trek Voyager, the Maquis. Anyway, the Marquee Network is trying to be your source for Cubs baseball on your cable system.
All right, so WGN, if you were a kid growing up in Chicago area, Iowa, any place ever, the group that showed up...
70 years.
The group that showed up for the largest group of humans in modern history for the World Series Championship, that was built... Because WGN was a superstation and showed up everywhere, and WGN happened to show the Cubs. Now, WGBS then turned TBS, that became the home of the Atlanta Braves when Turner brought that before they sold off. But anyway, built the Atlanta Braves through the whole Southeast because the Braves were on.
Because there was access.
Exactly.
Because it was on TV.
So I guess Grandma and Grandpa, who loved the Cubs and grew up watching the Cubs, may subscribe to the Marquee.
Maybe.
But young people...
But it's not even... They can't even subscribe. You can't even subscribe to the Marquee Network.
It's got
to
be available on your cable service.
Your cable service has to subscribe to it and give it to you as a part of your cable service.
Oh, that's awful.
The Marquee Network wants to charge the cable service $6 per subscription, and they want every subscriber to the cable network to have access, just like ESPN.
Oh, that's awful.
It is a bad business move, I think.
It sounds to me like that St. Louis... the Cardinals, or the Milwaukee Brewers, or the Chicago White Sox, the people in Indiana and Iowa and are going to get used to watching those teams.
Uh-huh.
Because
they'll be on TV.
Exactly.
That's why the Cubs are the Cubs. Because 70 years, people were able to get access to the video of these players playing this game.
Yeah.
The story of the Chicago Blackhawks. When I was a kid, nobody watched the Chicago Blackhawks because the owner decided that he was not going to give away pictures. He was not going to let that game be broadcast on TV. He wanted people to buy a ticket and go to the stadium.
And until Wirtz passed away,
mm-hmm.
the NHL suffered because of his decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And where the Blackhawks fans suffered too, because they never could get the players. Detroit built its following
mm-hmm.
because they were able to be seen and people wanted to be part of that franchise.
If you can't be seen, you might as well not exist. That's the problem that the Blackhawks had, and that's the problem that the Cubs are building for themselves with this.
Yeah, I think this is short-sighted. Uh-huh. You know, even college sports are running into this where if everything's on ESPN and stuff like that, that means you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
And you know, if you don't have it on free TV, then you know, you may not have the audience of that. And what I'll ultimately say on that is the NBA is combating that because they're broadcasting the game either locally or NBA TV, but the next day they're throwing it on YouTube. And so you can watch yesterday's game on YouTube.
Access. It's all about access. You can still go to MLB.tv and get your subscription service to watch your Cubs games as long as they're not blacked out. They still play the blackout game. If there was a game in your local area that's being broadcast, you can't see it on their streaming service.
Really?
Yes. That game is still being played here. But you can subscribe to MLB TV for about $122 a year. You can get every game except for the blacked out ones, or you can follow one team for $94 a year.
Boy, this is an interesting time. We really are in a transition time. Yeah. I think that going forward, I think 10 years from now, they could really, really regret this, because if lacrosse decides they're going to be the sport that's going to broadcast,
yeah.
then the kids watch lacrosse.
Whatever it is, whether it's the XFL or whatever it is that is available on TV, whatever I can see and therefore be aware of, the Cubs.
Think about this. If I'm NASCAR, I want mm-hmm. all I want, I'll give away my product. Just get me on regular television.
Uh-huh.
And the idea is if Saturday afternoons, instead of watching baseball games, I'm watching NASCAR, then NASCAR has a chance of growing.
The following that the Cubs have is because of that generation, two generations, three generations sure. of people who saw those games and they were a part of their tradition.
Mm-hmm.
Taking that away because the Cubs, for some reason, feel that they are a brand, that they can make money on that brand, taking that tradition away, it might really backfire for them.
Well, maybe it's a time for all those sports in the Ocho, Steve.
all those sports will really catch on. I don't know, Chip. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
Absolutely. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on Spotify and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And you can always ask your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Too Much Scrolling. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
And I'm feather wearing Chip Hasselblad.
See Mardi Gras. We'll see you in the future. What I want to talk about is what I want to thank you for. What I want to thank you for. It means so very much without you. I would never see the light.
This one is about a gentleman who is named Richard Dawson. Sorry. Lots of kisses there.